I'm very happy now to welcome to the program Seth Del Grosso. He's a founding member of the Aspen Santa Fe Ballet, which is now in its 16th season, and Seth is just finishing his 16th season with his company, and in fact he will be giving his last performance before he retires as a dancer this Saturday, the 1st of September, at the Lenzic at 8 in the evening. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you for having me, Mary Charlotte.
So, how did you become a dancer? What forms of dance did you study as a young person before you joined Aspen Santa Fe?
Well, when I first began as a young child, my mother had a dance studio, and that's how it all sort of came about. She instilled the love and passion for movement and dance. Throughout my career, I've done predominantly classical and contemporary work.
What kind of dance did your mother teach?
She taught classical dance, but she was a modern dancer when she was younger in New York City. So she has a modern dance background, which gave me the versatility.
Warm and dry today. The high should be in the upper 80s.
Really a great sort of boost towards allowing me to try different things from
warm and dry today.
The classical, in order to find out what was best for me.
I think that's one of the big differences in the last few generations of dancers. I think maybe in your mother's generation, everybody specialized, and now people are already growing up with so many different forms. Is that your perception?
I think it's funny. One of my older teachers, she says, there's only two types of dance. There's good dance and there's bad dance. So while, of course, you can classify things and, of course, there's lots of differentiation, but nowadays, you know, the variety that's out there as a dancer, if you want to be successful, you have to be able to apply each one of those techniques as best as you can. Obviously, coming from a strong base in either classical or modern, depending upon what your specialty may be. But yes, as you mentioned, nowadays the line's sort of been blurred to allow the art form to sort of grow without having, you know, the stigmas attached to a specific type of dance.
What kind of stigmas were there in the past?
Well, when you hear the name, you know, the word ballet, like in our name, Aspen Santa Fe Ballet, you might assume it means, you know, nothing but tutus and pointe shoes. But ballet, in its root form, just meaning simply dance in general, is where we take it from. So it means every type of dance. So we do Nutcracker, which does have tutus and pointe shoes, to contemporary works by Yuri Killian, to modern works by Paul Taylor. So, you know, our company tries to specialize in having the diversity of all those types of dance.
So how did you start working with the Aspen Santa Fe Ballet?
I was training at the David Howard Dance Center in New York City, and I met Jean-Philippe Malaty, the executive director, and he asked if I'd be interested in coming out to Aspen, Colorado, to perform a Nutcracker for what was then the Aspen Ballet School. And my father, living in Denver at the time, it made it a perfect opportunity for me to come out and get a free flight and see him for Christmas. And so that sort of spawned everything. And then the following season, in 1996, they started the company, and they asked if I would stay on as one of the founding company members.
How did working with the company change the way you dance? And I know that, I mean, in a way it's sort of hard to describe. People are going to have to go see the Aspen Santa Fe Ballet in order to really understand. But how did you grow and change as a result of being with this company and for so long?
Well, it's wonderful, because without this company, I probably would have had a difficult time finding myself specifically in what I was good at. Growing up, I did, you know, train in a bunch of different types of dance, but I wanted to be a classical dancer as a young man. And it wasn't until I was in this company that I got a taste for a lot more variety of dance that was out there. I had seen others, but to actually do it was a different, this was the first opportunity. And so over the past 16 years, I've had the opportunity to try so many different types of dance and styles from, like I said, from Balanchine to modern to everywhere in between. Those opportunities over the 16 years have sort of stretched me and molded me in a way in which I consider myself more a contemporary dancer now than a classical dancer. However, we are all classically trained, and we use that as our base. Again, having the variety over the past 16 years has sort of evolved who I am as a dancer and what I enjoy doing.
We're talking to Seth Del Grosso of the Aspen Santa Fe Ballet. So What is the relationship like with the artistic directors and with the choreographers? And the choreographers are always coming from outside the company, and so there's a pretty wide variety of them.
True, yes. So Tom Mossberger, our artistic director, he has a wonderful eye to make sure that everything is, you know, in ideal aesthetics and decent lines, as well as maintaining the ballets that we get from the choreographers. So Tom is there to sort of oversee, as an artistic director does. And when the choreographers come into town, depending, it may be a newer choreographer that we may not have worked with before, and we'll spend, you know, upwards of 3 to 4 weeks putting together a new ballet. If it happens to be a choreographer that we've worked with before, we can do maybe in a shorter time period because we're more familiar with the movement quality. For example, I try to relate it to a language, and when you're learning dance and ballet, and classical ballet specifically, you have a specific language that your body learns as far as movement is concerned. And so with each choreographer that comes in, you have to sort of basically learn a new language physically and adapt those that language to your body and what the choreographer is trying to portray. And so each time it's a different process. But like I said, as you become more familiar with it, as with, you know, learning a new language, you get more comfortable with it, more confident in it, and you can express yourself through that language. So there are definitely, you know, variables that go into play with each kind. And the faster that a dancer and a choreographer can get together on the same page, I think, is when a lot of productivity happens, which thankfully here at Aspen Santa Fe Ballet, we have that opportunity a lot. So there's usually very little wasted time, and everything goes straight towards, you know, putting together fabulous pieces, hopefully.
Do you find that there are some, to use your manner of speaking about it, languages that are easier and harder for you to learn? In other words, that you just relate to artistically or aesthetically or just as a human being, some more than others?
Oh, definitely. I mean, we're all human, and we all have our preferences of what we like and what we don't like, and what our bodies are physically able to do better than other things. And so, yes, like in any certain language, you may choose to prefer to speak Italian versus, say, German. Or maybe it's harder to learn Mandarin than it is to learn, you know, Russian. But so there are definitely varying levels. But I think in our, obviously as professionals, our job is to try to understand them as quickly as possible so that we can get through that and move on to creating the piece as, you know, the choreographer sees it.
Now, what are the hardest parts, do you think, of being a dancer, and what are the most wonderful parts for you?
The hardest parts. I mean, for us specifically at Aspen Santa Fe Ballet, I would have to say, for me personally, I have a wife and two beautiful boys, so the travel is a little difficult for us. We're a company of 11, and we tour often, approximately 30 to 40 cities a year, so being away from home has been the hardest thing for me as a dancer. Some of the long tour dates, upwards of, you know, 4 to 5 weeks in a row, being away from home, that makes it very difficult for me personally. Obviously, there are some physical stresses that can happen with dance being a very physical art form. And as far as one of the most enjoyable parts of dance, again, personally for me, I met my wife through dancing. So we had the opportunity to share not only our love of each other, but our love of dance together on stage, which was really a wonderful opportunity. And so obviously performances are wonderful to have the opportunity to relay what the choreographer is trying to say to an audience and sort of having that moment in this live production. Sometimes, you know, you take the journey with the audience, and it's especially at the Lensic, it's really wonderful because it's such an intimate environment. You get to really take them with you. And again, personally for me, one of the other wonderful things about dance is the people that I've met along the way. From my fellow dancers to choreographers, they've all really sort of inspired me, each in their own little way. And so the past 16 years seem to just sort of fly by when you have those types of people.
When you were dancing on the stage with your wife, did choreographers tend to cast you two together in, say, a duet because you already had that loving chemistry with each other?
We did get cast often together, but I don't necessarily think it was always because we were a couple, per se. There were multiple things that went into it, but there may have been just that underlying comfort level with one another that they saw when we were in class as they were evaluating who they wanted to be in their piece, or maybe they did know that we were a couple and they wanted to do something a little more romantic. So this would be, you know, obviously they wouldn't have to stretch the imagination to do anything. So yeah, again, it kind of can vary on the scenario.
Now, dance training is relentless, and unlike, I was thinking, if you're a poet and you have a period where you're not writing, then you start writing again. But if you're a dancer, you can't really take time off. And what is that like? Are you able to have a life outside of dance, or do you just basically have to throw yourself into it and that's it? That's your whole life?
There is a lot of that. And obviously dance, especially starting, you know, any sort of from gymnastics to other sports even, anything that you start at a young age, you can sort of have that one-track mind. And you need that focus in order to be successful, for sure. However, I'm of the mental capacity that I prefer to have a little bit of yin to my yang, so to speak. I can't be 100% on one thing or it will fry and burn me out. So for me personally, I like to enjoy, you know, physically anyways, you know, some yoga, something to sort of calm myself and center myself, and is different than the daily rigors of rehearsals for ballet. Having said that, there is a break, like you mentioned with the poets, that you may need time for your body to sort of heal and recuperate from some minor injuries here or there. So it's nice to have a little bit of a break, but that is a fine line. You can't go too far, because then you have to work your body back into shape. And so you're constantly finding that line and making sure that you're close enough to it, obviously, near performance time. As with this past summer, as you saw with all of the athletes, you know, they have to work themselves up to be at their peak performance right during the Olympics. They don't want to over-practice beforehand and be, you know, burnt out or fried beforehand physically. And you can evaluate that in the same way as you would with a dancer. You want to work yourself up so that you're at your peak performance during the physical capabilities during the performance. And considering that we do 30, 40 cities a year, we kind of stay on that edge pretty close to it most of the time. But yes, you do want some downtime to sort of let your body relax. And for me, like I said, personally, I enjoy yoga. And that's why I love to take class at Body there in Santa Fe, just to sort of keep me centered and focused.
Right. Now, you do a lot of traveling, as you said, touring as a dancer with Aspen Santa Fe Ballet. You also split your time between Aspen and Santa Fe. What's that like? Are you more in one city or the other?
We are more in Aspen, but the ongoing joke is that we're actually more on the road than we are in either city, just because we do spend so much time traveling. But we do have our bases here with the studios that we primarily use are here in Aspen. However, we also have the school and studios in Santa Fe as well. So we do try to spend as much time as possible down in Santa Fe before the shows, sort of continue our integration into the community. And over the past 11 years that it's been there in Santa Fe, it's been a great marriage between both Aspen and Santa Fe. And as a dancer who has the opportunity to go between both communities, I mean, it's you can't ask for anything better. I mean, two communities that appreciate and love culture and art, I mean, I've definitely hit the jackpot when it comes to an opportunity to work in those two types of communities.
Now, what have been some of the most interesting and exciting places that you've performed outside of Aspen and Santa Fe?
I mean, we've toured internationally often. We were just recently in Brazil, and that was a great experience. We've been to Italy, France, Greece, Canada. And so to have those great opportunities internationally, obviously, I love enjoy performing in New York at the Joyce Theater, because I have lots of friends and family there as well. But there have just been so many wonderful. I remember, I believe it was a city, older city in Italy, I think it was Sacile, and it had a very historic opera house with a 5-6% rake in the stage. So you have this, you know, downward slope towards the audience, and as we practice here in the U.S., there are no rake, there were very few, I should say, rake stages that you work with. So that definitely brought, you know, an interesting element to the show.
Yeah.
But to be in that sort of historic atmosphere, something that's been there for hundreds of years, just was really, really an honor to perform there. I had a wonderful time.
When you travel to these places, do you get to meet and see the work of dancers and musicians and other artists there?
You know, it depends where we are and for what time period we have. We were recently in Israel and in Tel Aviv, and we had an opportunity to see some dancers there, and it really is a great opportunity to look at, see your peers throughout the world and see where they are and what they're exploring. And so from a dancer's perspective, it was really great to see that. And we had that opportunity also in Italy as well. And when we're in some different cities throughout, obviously New York and the large ones like San Francisco and Houston and Chicago, and even in some of the smaller cities. But like I said, it all depends upon time, because often we're traveling, we will hit the show and then be on the plane the next day. So we don't necessarily have that opportunity all the time. But I do enjoy it when it comes through.
How do you deal with jet lag if you're going from, say, Aspen to Italy? I mean, if you might be performing and it would be 3 a.m. on your body clock.
True, yeah. I mean, you try to really rest on the plane, of course, and find ways to keep your body sort of moving in some way. So take a nap, but then also walk around and try to keep the blood flowing so it doesn't sort of pool in your legs, and try to stay up as much as possible, obviously drinking lots of water, everything that they say, you know, making sure not to have, you know, a lot of alcoholic beverages, just to make sure that you're in the best shape you can be so it doesn't hit you as much. However, be it a plane, be it a car, as any human being would tell you, when you sit for a long period of time, it can definitely get to you after a while. So we make sure in the classes before the rehearsals and performances the following day that, you know, properly warming up the body and really making sure that it's at its peak level so that no one gets injured from jet lag or anything like that.
We're talking to Seth Del Grosso, dancer with the Aspen Santa Fe Ballet, who is giving his last performance tomorrow. What are you going to do next?
Well, you know, I'm enjoying this moment now because it's been such a wonderful opportunity to perform for both the communities of Aspen and Santa Fe. They've been so loving and so warm and inviting to all of us dancers. So I'm really just looking forward to enjoying that on my final moments dancing. But I'll be moving on and to the other side of the curtain, so to speak, in an administrative role here at the ballet company. So I'm looking forward to sticking around, and you'll definitely see my face floating around town still. So I'm excited to stay with the company.
Do you have any tendencies toward doing choreography?
Not necessarily. That's something, while it's absolutely amazing to be so creative and have that opportunity, I've been always more interested in the business side of things, the financial to the marketing and development. So that's sort of where I've felt the best.
Now, will you keep dancing? I mean, once you've been a professional at this level of peak performance and athleticism, what do you do next for your body and for your self-expression as a dancer once you're no longer a professional?
Exactly. I mean, the difficult thing, as any person will retire can tell you from their love and their passion, is finding something that remains to that passion as you move forward. Thankfully, I will, like I said, I'll be with the company, and so I have the passion of making sure that the company continues to do well. But physically, I tend to sort of immerse myself in more yoga. I'm probably going to play a little more basketball than I did before. Maybe do a little more snowboarding than I was able to do before. A lot more outdoor activities that, obviously, one, I'll have more time to do and not worry so much about being injured, whereas as a dancer, obviously, you have that in the back of your head all the time.
Well, we want to thank you for the joy and beauty that you have brought to so many people through your dance.
Thank you, Mary Charlotte. I appreciate it, and I look forward to seeing everybody at the theater. And like I said, if not, I'll see everyone afterwards.
Wonderful. Thanks so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Thank you.
Seth Del Grosso is a founding member of Aspen Santa Fe Ballet, and he is just completing his 16th season with the company and will be giving his last performance before he retires as a dancer Saturday, September 1st at the Lenzic at 8 p.m. Aspen Santa Fe Ballet is on the web at aspensantafeballet.com. And I'd like now to welcome Rob DeWalt. He is with the Pasa Tiempo, Friday Arts Magazine in the Santa Fe, New Mexico. He's with us just about every Friday, speaking of the arts, hablando de las artes. Is that right?
Okay. Sure.
Welcome.
Good morning. How are you?
It's one gets started a little slowly.
Yeah.
How are you?
I'm good. You can even tell just by the way the sun hits the ground that fall is here, pretty much.
It's on its way.
Like, you'll be sitting there, like, on the plaza or something, and this little yellow leaf will roll by, and you're like, really?
I know.
Seriously? What happened?
I know, and the leaves on the locust tree are turning yellow.
I know.
Which means that it's good time...
to roast chili.
To adopt a kitty.
Oh, well, that too.
And this...
You could adopt a chili.
You could adopt a chili, and you can adopt a kitty to eat it, and then watch what happens. This week's featured cat is Firefly. She's an adorable, social, playful little girl with a short coat and brown tabby markings. If you're interested in adopting her, she sounds like a great little kitten. You can call Felines and Friends at 505-316-2281, or you can go to their website, fandfnm.org, or ask Felines and Friends at yahoo.com.
Kitty. Well, you could, you know, go to the Santa Fe Animal Shelter and Humane Society and adopt a dog. You could do that,
That's
too.
That's true. Or you could go to Espanol and adopt a dog.
That's true.
You could call Small Dog Rescue and adopt a Jack Russell Terrier mix. Or a dachshund.
Yes. Yes. We found a dachshund in our front yard the other day.
You did?
Yeah.
And you didn't bring it to my house?
Well, we were sitting out on the front porch having a cocktail, and I was in the garage messing around, and all of a sudden this dachshund walks by and it starts barking at me, and I'm like, shoot, go away. You know, because my dogs my dogs are a little bigger, and instead of going away, it walked right up and hopped into my partner's arms.
Wow, I'm looking at a picture of it on the iPhone, and it is very cute. It's kind of one of those dapple marking things with short hair. Did you find its owner?
Well, there was a number on it, and I called the number, and nobody answered like four times. I was like, all right, well, we set a bed for it up in the garage and gave him water. And Cody was his name. He had tags, and he was microchipped and everything. So we were like, we can deal with it in the morning. And sure enough, like right before we were about to go to bed, we hear, Cody. And somebody was out looking for the dog, and yes, Mama lived right across the street. Daughter had left the house back door open, but yes, it was reunited.
Well, people take good care of each other. My dogs went a little bit astray in the dog park the other day, and people were really good about helping.
Really?
Yep, and all three of them came home with me.
Did they get in trouble with Mama?
Yes, I didn't walk them for 2 days. I was so mad at them.
Oh, my gosh, dude.
I know, and then yesterday they had the walk of their lives. All right, check this out. We haven't even started with art yet, but here's another not really art thing, which is that there's a fundraiser for the Santa Fe Disco Brawlers. Yes, this is Santa Fe's one and only roller derby team at the Matador, and that is Friday, August 31st, I guess that's tonight, from 9:30 until closing, and there'll be a raffle with prizes from Duke City Derby, Walter Book Catering, Radius Books, and the Auto Angel, who I just heard of yesterday. They're supposed to be fabulous. And art and all kinds of good things and DJs. And so check it out.
I'm going on vacation next week, and that's one of the things we're going to do in Durango is go see some roller derby, see how they do's it up north.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You think it's going to be any different than how they does it down northern New Mexico?
No, I don't think so. It's a home competition, so the teams are... There'll be a lot of people there. It seems to be a lot bigger in Albuquerque even and in places like Durango and Denver than it is in Santa Fe at the moment. But Santa Fe is usually about 5 to 10 years behind on these things anyway. So.
Yeah, well, we have a somewhat older median age here. And roller derby is not a sport for the faint of heart, shall we say.
That's a really nice way of putting it. Anyway, lots of artsy stuff going on this week. First of all, happy almost fiesta in the Zobra, right?
Yeah.
Cover of Paso Tiempo today. You get a sort of a sneak peek at the fiesta poster this year. Ooh, that was nice.
Yeah.
That was very festive.
Maybe that was in honor of fiesta.
Totally. Anyway, the Zobra poster for 2012 graces the cover of Paso Tiempo today. There is no story about it. But it's such a gorgeous image that it belongs there. There is a story, however, on Arwen Donahue, who's an illustrator who I believe lives in Kentucky.
Ah.
And
who we're going to have on the show next week.
Yeah. And I interviewed her about this short comic book that she wrote called Old Man Gloom. And it's beautifully illustrated, and it's an interesting story. By the end of our interview, I think I told you this right before we went on the air, I discovered that her brother and I went to school together here in Santa Fe. She used to live here, which is why she wrote about it in the first place.
Ah.
You would, if someone was writing about Zozobra who hadn't seen it or anything, I'd be
most
suspicious.
Kentuckians don't write about Zozobra.
This is true. She's got an interesting story. She, you know, her family grows vegetables on an organic farm, and she's an interesting gal and a really great artist and illustrator. She has a website.
Yeah.
You should check it out. But anyway, on that note, Flying Cow Gallery tonight from 4 to 5 p.m., more of an afternoon thing, really. Arwen's going to be signing copies of her comic book called Old Man Gloom, and Mark Trujillo, who did the poster for this year's Pasatiempo, is going to be signing posters. And there's also a Zozobra art show, and it's one day only. I believe this is the 8th annual Will Schuster Art and Photography Show over there at Warehouse 21 Teen Center in the Rail Yard. And so there's a reception from 4 to 5 p.m., and the show's going to be up, but this is it. This is the only day it's really going to be up, so go by and check it out. They always have some really cool stuff over there.
Yeah.
Zozobra-related things. And, of course, on Thursday, they're burning the sucker.
This coming Thursday.
Yes.
6 days from today.
6 days from today.
Right.
I went by Warehouse 21 last week, and they have a little, you know, they built his dress over there, his skirt, or whatever you want, whatever the man name, or the kilt. Whatever you want to call it. And so they tore off a little piece of fabric, and they left it out there in the waiting area for people to ride on. And so everyone's like, "Oh yeah, write down your woes and your gloom and your hopes and your fears, and you know we're gonna put them inside Zozobra, and you know we're gonna stuff it up there, and we're gonna burn it." So I just wrote creamed corn, because I hate creamed corn so much.
Oh man!
And that was one of my fears.
I would have written beets.
Beets.
Mm-hmm. I went
not
to
like,
a restaurant.
Not like dropping beets, yo, but like
B-E-E-T-S,
red beets that grow out of the ground.
Borscht.
Okay. All right. That
yes.
makes more sense.
Yeah. There was a restaurant in Santa Fe, which will go unnamed, which was putting beets in its pancakes. I never went back. Without telling you. There was not full disclosure.
Wow. You're going to tell me after the show, though.
I will. I don't think they're doing it anymore.
All right.
I think they got complaints.
They're like, that's weird.
Axel Contemporary has their ongoing show through the 9th of September, Selected Works on Paper, the Flat File Show, and that is the mobile art gallery that's in a van that goes around town, so you can see it anywhere you want, or anywhere that it is. And Heidi Lowen Porcelain Gallery, the Golden Sun of Summer, Smoked Porcelain and Carved Stilettos, there's an opening today from 5 to 8 in the evening. And yes, the stilettos are porcelain stilettos. Just saying.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's actually pretty cool. My Christmas tree is decorated with porcelain stiletto heels every year.
Is that right?
Yeah. Purple and, I mean, they're not life-sized, obviously. I would weigh the tree down a little bit.
Yeah, you have to make them out of lightweight plastic if you're going to make them life-sized.
Yeah. Yeah.
Water Tower Music, the pop-up wind quintet today from 5 to 4, 5:45 at the Rail Yard under the water tank. Serenata of Santa Fe is doing that recurring small music project series, which is part of the Rail Yard Art Committee. And all sorts of artists on flute, oboe, horn, and bassoon, clarinet.
Neo.
Yep.
Hey, the Fiesta Melodrama is continuing this week.
Oh, good. Have you seen it yet?
I have not seen it.
I haven't either.
But here's the title. What the List Missed, or the absolutely undeniably, certifiably true story of how New Mexico became a state. I'm sure everything in it is 100%
true. Absolutely true. Go there for your history lesson,
yeah.
Children.
There's actually a late show tonight. There's a 7:30 p.m. and a 10 p.m. Show over at Santa Fe Playhouse. It's the show runs Friday through Sunday, all the way through September 9th. So you still have a chance to catch it.
All right.
But it's always more fun to see it before it's over. The one they did, was it last year or the year before? It was just hilarious. Oh, my gosh. With about the medical marijuana program.
Oh, right.
Gigantic joint on stage. It was very scary. And a big Zozobra hand that came out and scared everybody. But this one looks good too. I'm you know, they always try and keep it a secret, you know, as to who wrote it this year. And I think I know who wrote it.
Yeah, it's, sometimes you can tell.
Yeah. But I say nothing. I don't give away the secrets.
Oh, really?
No.
Good.
Okay. Victoria Price Art and Design, The Structure of Things, paintings by David Baca. There's a reception from 5 to 8 p.m. Tonight. That's up to September 28th. And Zane Bennett Contemporary's got Message from La Habana, a group show of works by Cuban artists. And there's a reception tonight from 5 to 7 p.m.
Yay.
There's a story on page 42 in today's Pasa Tiempo. That show is up through September 21st.
Excellent.
Yeah. So lots of art openings on Friday. Not so many on Saturday, but here's something on Saturday that I recommend. That Caldera Gallery, our good friends over there on
yeah.
Baca Street, they had a bit of a burglary.
Oh, that's awful.
All of their things were taken. All of their laptops, their camera with all of their art on it
was
stolen. So they are trying to recoup losses from the robbery, which happened August 12th. If you have any information, please contact the police department.
Yeah.
But DJ Prairie Dog is going to be spinning. There's going to be an art auction, food. There's going to be a screening of Point Break, which is that surfer film with Patrick Swayze and Canaries. And they've set up this really cool kind of photo booth where it looks like you're surfing. And so one of the folks in scuba is going to be taking photos in the photo booth. That is Saturday. From noon to sundown. And donations are welcome, even if you don't want to hang around for food and stuff. They could certainly use some community support. And they do some great stuff over there. Being such a small space and such a small collective.
They do indeed.
They do wonderful things.
Tomasita's Lowrider and Custom Car Show is a fundraiser for Literary Volunteers of Santa Fe, who we're going to have on the air sometime pretty soon, but I want to let people know right now about the car show because it's Sunday from 11 to 5 in the rail yard, and 50% of Tomasita's profits that day will go to Literacy Volunteers of Santa Fe. And it should be great fun, and this is something that they're planning to do every year. Lowriders, custom cars, hot rods, motorcycle, classic cars, lowrider bikes, muscle cars, and more.
What's a lowrider bike?
You got to go there to find out.
Oh, like lowrider bicycle, I bet, is what they're thinking about, not motorcycles.
Maybe.
Probably lowrider bikes. That I know what that is.
Okay.
Lowrider motorcycle, I don't really know.
Yeah, I saw a motorcycle with a sidecar the other day, and my desire to get one of those and put my dog in it was reawakened.
In a little basket?
No, a little sidecar.
Oh, no. You need help.
But it'd be so cute.
Did you see that picture I sent you about the dog's birthday?
Yes.
Okay. Just checking.
Yeah.
All right. What else is happening? Oh, Nancy Wood is reading from Soledad Crucifixion in conjunction with her photographic exhibit from 1 to 3 p.m. on Saturday at Gerald Peters Gallery over there on Paseo de Peralta. There's a story on page 48, today's Pasa Tiempo.
Excellent.
Interesting story, that.
Do say more.
Well, you're just going to have to read it. But we've been sitting on the story for a little while. There's also a very interesting story in today's Pasa Tiempo, and it's not really necessarily tied to any event, but it's about fire in art. Like, fire in art.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's people on fire or you know, a flaming hearth or whatever. I believe Michael Abadamarco wrote a great story today about it in the Pasa Tiempo.
If you're an artist, you know that drawing and painting flame is not the very easiest of all possible things.
Right. This is true.
Yeah.
Not that I'm an artist or would know, but that is true. Hey, yes. Who doesn't love them some mariachi music?
Oh, nobody doesn't love them some mariachi music.
Nobody. We'll talk about that later.
We'll diagram that sentence later.
But there is a, what is it? The Concierto de Mariachi Matinee at the Lenzic Performing Arts Center at 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. on Wednesday, September 5th. That's at the Lenzic. Tickets are very inexpensive. They're more expensive for the afternoon show by just a couple of bucks. But we've got Mariachi Buenaventura, who... It's the all-woman mariachi group
that
performed
fab
at the Olympics. And they are back, and they're going to work it for you. There's a couple of other groups. There's going to be some dancers. There's going to be tons of singers. And the tickets are available through Tickets Santa Fe at the Lenzig, 988-1234, www.ticketssantafe.org. So go get your mariachi on.
And Dennis Marker, who was here on the show a few months ago discussing his book, 15 Steps to Corporate Feudalism, How the Rich Convinced America's Middle Class to Eliminate Themselves, is going to be talking at Collected Works Bookstore on Sunday at 11 in the morning, and it's a production of Journey Santa Fe. And Journey Santa Fe is doing things pretty much every Sunday morning at Collected Works Bookstore, and all of them very interesting, so definitely check it out.
Nino.
It's a good book.
It is? Have you read it?
Yes.
All of it?
Yep.
I haven't read it.
You should read it. It says a lot of things in a very concise way. So it's like a little handbook about, well, how we were convinced to eliminate ourselves. It's kind of depressing, but there's good information in it.
Well, if you have a cop, I'm trying to figure out what to bring on my vacation. I'm going on vacation, everybody.
Don't bring that.
No.
Bring something happy.
Bring something happy? I don't do well with happy.
Oh, well, then bring that.
Okay. Live on the Rocks. Did we talk about this?
No.
Live on the Rocks is on Sunday from... Oh, it starts at 4 p.m. It's a benefit for the Mesa Prieta Petroglyph Project, featuring music by Gary Farmer and the Troublemakers, petroglyph tours, and a catered meal. This is at the Wells Petroglyph Preserve, U.S. 285-84 North through Espanola to New Mexico 68. If you call... 927-6604. You can find out more information. You can get tickets through the Lenzig. But everybody loves them some petroglyphy.
That's your sentence structure of the morning.
Yeah.
Everyone loved them some.
Everybody loved them some petroglyphy.
Everybody loved them some Jicarilla Apache of Dulce. There's a talk and book signing by Dr. Veronica Velarde Tiller and Mary Velarde, and it's a new book on the history of the Jicarilla Apache, and that is Sunday, September 2nd from 2 to 4:30 at the Museum of Indian Arts and Culture. So that's definitely something to check out.
Yes, indeed.
Yes, indeed.
I forgot to mention when I talked about Arwen Donahue, who wrote the comic book about Old Man Gloom.
Yeah.
And has the signing on Friday. She's also going to be reading from and signing copies of it in the Junior Common Room at Peterson Student Center at St. John's College on Wednesday at 6:30 p.m.
Ah, good to know.
So she actually has two events, one on Friday and then one the following Wednesday. So if you miss one, you can go to the other. But I think the one is going to be... probably a little more fun downtown at Warehouse 21.
Oh, it's all fun.
I guess.
You know.
and I know there's some mariachi extravaganza, but I can't seem to find the information right now. But if you go to the Santa Fe Opera website, there is a mariachi extravaganza happening.
And you talked about Gary Farmer and the Troublemakers?
Yes.
Okay.
So enough to eat. Let's see. What else is happening? Serenade of Santa Fe, four community concerts. Let's see, we've got one at 12:30 p.m. on Museum Hill. Let's see. We've got one at 1:45 at Century. This is on Friday. This is today. One at 1:45 at Century Bank on Federal Place. One at 3 p.m. at Whole Foods Market on Cerrillos Road. And one at 5 o'clock in the Rail Yard Plaza. That's a lot of concerts for a day. That's crazy. That's too much.
Yep.
I would think it's too much. Hey, we've also got program two of the Aspen Santa Fe Ballet. And I know there's a concert.
Saturday night only. And it's Seth Del Grosso's last performance, as we found out during the first part of this show. He is retiring. He's a founding member of Aspen Santa Fe Ballet. And it's the last time he's performing here. And he is going on to a career in working behind the scenes with the Aspen Santa Fe Ballet.
Behind the scenes.
Yep.
Wow. Well, that's kind of a big deal.
It is a very big deal.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he's great. But anyway, it's a great time to go see Aspen Santa Fe Ballet and see this wonderful dancer. And Tracy Neal, longtime garden designer in Santa Fe, is giving two classes at the Santa Fe Community College September 15th and 22nd from 9 to noon. About landscaping for the future as the climate changes. And I neglected to, I think I didn't, I don't know if I talked about last week, he was giving a class at Plants of the Southwest. But in any case, call Santa Fe Community College and find out about his classes, because he's a wonderful, we had him on the air not too long ago, and he's a wonderful gardener, garden designer, horticulturist, whatever you want to call it. Lots of, great deal of knowledge and sense of beauty.
We didn't mention the Fiesta de los Niños that's happening out at El Rancho de los Golondrinas, did we?
I don't think we did.
It is it's an outdoor celebration. It's an annual children's celebration. There's all kinds of stuff going on. There's reenactments, there's food, there's music. I believe there's even some talk of some animals.
But
that begins at 10 a.m. and goes to 4 p.m. on Sunday out there at El Rancho de los Golondrinas. Tickets are cheap, and there's discounts available. If you go to 471-2261, if you call them, you can find out more information about that event. And that's a great sort of way to get a little bit out of town on the weekends. Go out there to El Rancho de los Golondrinas. We love those guys. They are awesome. They do good things. Oh, and I got to mention this. I read about this in my column today. Greg Turner, who is sort of a co-founder of the Angry Samoans, one of my favorite punk bands of all time, is sort of one of these in-and-out Santa Fe people. He comes here and stays for a while and goes, oh, my God, I can't handle this anymore. And then he leaves for a little while, and then he comes back. It happens to the best of us. He has a new album out, and he's sort of gone singer-songwriter-y on us. And he has been sort of, a lot of these songs were recorded out in, where were they recorded? They were recorded in Cuesta at an analog studio called The Barn Recorder. And if you go to look, like Google up The Barn Recorder, Cuesta, New Mexico, they have a really cool blog. Anyway.
The way you said Cuesta just sounded like church lady.
Cuesta. Cuesta. Anyway, you can catch Turner live at 7 p.m. on Friday, September 7th. This is not this Friday, which is today, but the following Friday at 317 Aztec, which is the old Aztec Cafe on Aztec Street. And then on Sunday, September 9th, he's playing at one of my favorite places. I was there yesterday. Who's Donuts?
Yes.
Yeah.
If you like donuts, that's an excellent choice.
It is, and I do. So.
And who doesn't?
And who doesn't? I love me some of that. Oh, the Taos Studio Tour.
Who is it who doesn't love them Who's Donuts?
All of these sentence diagrams will be up on Mary Charlotte's website by the end of the week.
In Latin.
In Latin. Let's see. Oh, yeah, the Taos Studio Tour. If I didn't have to work all weekend, I'd be doing this. But there's a meet and greet from 5 to 8 p.m. on Friday, which is today, at the Mabel Dodge Lujan House. And regular tours begin at 10 a.m. and run through 5 p.m. on Saturday through Monday, September 1st through 3rd. Because, hey, guess what? Monday is, for some, a holiday.
Yeah, it's for some it is.
It's Labor Day.
Labor Day. That's why people like you and I labor.
So start putting all your white clothes in a little pile and make sure you're not supposed to wear white after Labor Day. Isn't that what they say?
Oh, I didn't get the memo.
I don't know. I figured that was just something everybody knew.
Oh, well, who doesn't know them
some
of etiquette?
That. some of that etiquette. If you go to taosartist.org, you can find artist information. In other words, you can sort of troll people's art pages and figure out whose studios you want to visit and whose you don't. And you can also download a map or at least look at one. And maps are also available at the Visitor Center in Taos and at area galleries in the city. So taosartist.org, that, of course, the regular tour is September 1st through 3rd. So that's, you know, studio tour season is pretty much just starting. We've had, like, Santa Fe Studio Tour, but there's a lot coming.
Yeah, studio tours, it's a nice time of year for studio tours.
It is. It's fall. It sort of gets people out and about. I haven't heard anything about the chairlift being open for people to ride up and down and watch the foliage. Have you?
No, I think they kind of wait until the aspen leaves turn a little more yellow.
Well, I know, but I haven't heard, like, if they're... I guess I haven't picked a date yet. Maybe. If you go to the Ski Santa Fe website, there might be something there. Anywho, Sid Masters and his band, the Swing Riders, are headlining the Cleveland Mill Fest, which runs Saturday and Sunday, September 1st through 2nd, at the Cleveland Roller Museum in Cleveland, right? No. It's north of Mora off New Mexico 518. And this is kind of an annual event. 2 days of live music. There's food booths, arts and crafts, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Saturday and Sunday, the 1st through the 2nd. So it's two miles north of Mora. So that's a nice drive, actually. And tickets are cheap.
Go ahead.
No, if you call 575-387-2645, you can find out more info on that.
Now, did you tell us about the Serenata of Santa Fe and all the different places that they're going to be?
On that one day?
That one day being today.
Yeah, I done did that.
Okay.
Okay.
Because I only read one of them, but I didn't realize there was a gazillion, and I just got an email.
Oh, yeah. There's a gazillion. Yeah.
At least five.
Yeah. There's a bunch. All over town. But if you go to the Serenata Santa Fe website, you can find out sort of what's on the schedule in terms of what they're going to play.
Right.
But that's a lot of concerts in one day for anybody.
It is.
I don't know if it's the same ensemble, like hopping from place to place.
I think it's the same ensemble hopping from place to place.
Or they're like dividing and conquering, you know? They're like, all right, you three go over there. And then you two get out of bed at 2 and go over there. But at any rate.
Good point.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
You never know. I don't think Serenata Santa Fe has that many peeps in it.
That many oboe players?
Yes.
Now that the opera's over?
Yeah. I didn't make it to the opera.
You didn't make it to the opera?
Remember how I said I was going to do it this year? Darn it, I was going to do it. I didn't.
I'm going to drag you next year.
I know.
I went to 4 out of 5, and I loved them.
I know. I just got too busy.
You know, it's okay. There will be more opera next year. I'm sure of it.
With a new conductor.
Yeah.
Yeah. Boy, that was weird, huh? She said by saying nothing. What else is happening? Oh, here it is. This is exactly what I was looking for. The annual Mariachi Extravaganza de Santa Fe is happening on Sunday at the Santa Fe Opera, 7:30 p.m.
Because who doesn't like them some
mariachi? But this is an extravaganza.
That's a different
one. This isn't a matinee. This is an extravaganza, which means tickets are more expensive.
Which means it's at night.
Which means, yeah. And 7:30 p.m., which is the sun's still going to be out. It'll be fun. If you call 986-5900, which is the box office, they can tell you more about who's going to play. And you can buy you some tickets.
And on that note, ladies and gentlemen, we wish you a lovely weekend. And
we don't have any time to talk about movies?
Oh, movies.
Just real quick?
Yeah, real quick, because we've only got 2 minutes left until 9.
I know. Okay, Compliance, one of the strangest films I've ever seen. Very disturbing.
Really?
This is a Do Not Take the Kids.
In a disturbing in a good way?
Well, it's based on a true story about this guy that calls a fast food restaurant, pretends to be a cop, and tells this girl that she was that she's being accused of stealing money out of a customer's purse and has her strip search, and it's very, very, it's creepy. Anyway, that opens at CCA Cinematheque. I gave it 3 chilies in the Paso Tiempo today. We've got an NC-17 film over at Regal de Vargas starring Matthew McConaughey called Killer Joe. Jonathan Richards gave it 3 chilies.
Really?
Yeah.
A Matthew McConaughey film? 3 chilies?
Yeah, and that's what I said too. We're like, this is exactly what he needed. And Jennifer Levin wrote a great review of Celeste and Jesse Forever. Some would say comedy / drama. I would say, well, just read Jennifer's review. It's rated R, and it's at Regal de Vargas. And there are 2 chilies. But don't forget the great films over at the screen.
Yes, do not forget.
There's some marvelous things playing over there at the screen, including Elena, right? Which Jonathan Richards gave 2.5 chilies.
I haven't been over there for a while.
The screen?
Yeah.
We should go over there. It's in my neighborhood.
It's a wonderful, wonderful place to watch movies, as is the CCA.
Yeah.
As is just about every place but De Vargas, which still hasn't gotten its projection chops on.
Yeah.
Anyway, you've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio music. Cafe. The music is playing. Rob DeWalt is with the Pasatiempo Friday Arts Magazine in the Santa Fe, New Mexican. My email is radiocafe@ksfr.org. My website is santafe.radiocafe.org, thanks to Dot Foil Computer Services. It's just about time to go. Have a wonderful weekend, everybody, and we will see you next week, and happy Labor Day.
Bye.
Bye.